Well, I'm Smiley Mike. Good to have you guys here with us today. I know we kind of keep pushing that video. That's not me. I don't want to show it that much. But it's really important to us. Hopefully you know how little I want to show that video, but how much it means to us to show it a lot so that those of you that have served over the past year or so at this church, in really any capacity, like we said, we want you at this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a good band coming out. We got a good barbecue. It's at Ann Hall Dance Hall. It's going to be fun. Get a babysitter. Have a date. Those of you that serve, maybe your spouse doesn't serve, they can come too. So you can go to the link, the QR code, you go to the Connection Center, get you signed up. We really want this to be a really full event. We got Ann Hall Dance Hall. It's a big old place. We got lots of room for people, room for food. And it's going to be lots of fun. So please, if you haven't signed up for that, please do sign up for that. It's a really, really big deal for us that our volunteers are kind of honored and hopefully blessed through this event. It's again, kind of a rare opportunity for us to get to do it, to say thanks. Not just for the help that you guys give us here, but also for the impact that you guys are having on the kingdom. I mean, it's kingdom work to serve. To be generous, you know, through the generosity of your time, lots of amazing stuff is happening at this church, and lots of amazing stuff is happening with the kingdom. People are seeing these little snippets of the kingdom here at this church through the generosity of your time. And we know that sacrifice is a thing when it comes to generosity, especially with your time. In fact, I think we can all agree that generosity, whether it's with our time, talent, or resources, for the sake of benefiting the kingdom, comes with some sacrifice. Now, sometimes that sacrifice is a small one, and sometimes those sacrifices get a little bigger. Sometimes the sacrifice might just be you got up early, you didn't want to come to church, and you're here at church. You know what I mean? But you're here. There's a generosity of time for that, and hopefully you're benefited from that and blessed from that. Some of you, you know, served this morning here, so you had to get up a little early. You came and you smiled at that door when you greeted people when they walked in. That's appreciated, and that might just be a small sacrifice. And sometimes those sacrifices are big. Sometimes those sacrifices, we're not even quite sure what God's doing by calling us to be generous with a certain thing, but we trust him. All generosity, all sacrifice, though, starts with one kind of sometimes scary word. Yes. Generosity starts with a yes. And I think sometimes as believers, we feel like our yes is kind of small or insignificant in kind of the grand scheme of things when it comes to being generous. And sometimes the sacrifice might be small. But I want to say this today, and I really hope you hear me when I say this. I hear this stuff a lot about, like, I just can't do that much. What I'm doing isn't that much. I don't think I'm making any difference with how I'm being generous or how I'm giving my time. I want you to hear this. There is no such thing as a small yes when it comes to following and trusting the Lord. That's not a thing. Right? We might not always see how our yes impacts someone else or impacts the kingdom, but when we say yes and do the generous things that we're called to do in the name of Jesus, God goes to work. And it doesn't require a brilliant mind or super deep pockets for God to go to work. It just takes a willing and trusting yes. Our job as believers isn't to change the world through our generosity. Our job is to do our part to say yes so that God can work and change the world through that yes. And while a lot of us don't get to see the fruits of our yes, sometimes we get to see him take the seemingly smallest yes when it comes to generosity and turn it into a giant miracle. I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations of that today. One of those, if you've got your Bible, is in John 6. I'm going to read to you guys a story that if you've gone to church at all before, you have certainly heard before. It's Jesus feeds the 5,000. Has anybody heard this story before? Raise your hand. Yeah, you've heard it before, right? We're going to read it today, but we're not going to read it with kind of the mindset of like, let's see what Jesus did in this story. I want us to pay attention to a really small bit of generosity in this story and how a really small yes turned into this amazing miracle that had amazing kingdom implications, and how God used the smallest of yes, how Jesus took the smallest of yes and turned it into the biggest of miracles. So John 6, I'm going to read it to you, verses 1 through 14. I'll read you the whole story, a little context before we hop in. Jesus is right in the middle of his ministry. He's teaching. He's rocking and rolling, right? He started off, he didn't have a ton of followers. Now he's got followers. People are literally following him everywhere that he goes. They kind of can't even get away from the people, as we see in this. This story occurs in all four of the Gospels. We don't see the miracles except the resurrection in all four of the Gospels except for this one. This is a pretty good miracle, a pretty big deal going on here. So Jesus is going on. He actually just also found out that his cousin and one of his best friends, John the Baptist, was just killed. So Jesus is kind of looking for a little time with his disciples to kind of get away a bit and relax and kind of regroup, eat some food. But what we see is people keep following him just wherever he goes. So we'll pick up there, John 6, verse 1. It says this, "After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, 'Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?' He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was fixing to do. Philip replied, 'Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them.' Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?' 'Tell everyone to sit down,' Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, 'Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted.' So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, 'Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting.' When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself." I love this story when we talk about a small yes. It's such an important story. And we've heard it a million times, and we know the story, and we know the miracles. Amazing things happen in this story. And we know Jesus took the bread and the fish, the miracle we fed everybody, right? And people saw that. And then we see these folks that were there who were following Jesus, most of them really trying to buy into what's going on, but this guy's saying he's the Messiah that they talked about in the Torah. Like, is this really the guy? And we see that so many of them, after this miracle, said, "It's him. Like, this is him." And like that, the kingdom has changed for so many people, right? And it started not with Jesus performing the miracle. It started with a yes from a little boy who said, "I got my lunch. Like, I got that." We don't know the age of this kid. We know it's a boy. I just want you to think back to when you were, 12, 13, 14. If you were in a group and there's 5,000 people and you recognize the only food you had was your own lunch, there's a pretty good chance you might have been hiding that food or going behind the rock to eat it, right? Not like, "Yeah, you can have it." But there was a trust there, right? There was a yes there. There was a little bit of generosity there from that boy. And Jesus used that. Did Jesus have to have that little boy there for a miracle to happen? He didn't. Did he? Does he have to have us to perform miracles? He doesn't, but he does. He chooses to work through us, and it starts with a yes. A couple of weeks ago, we really challenged the generosity of this church to say yes to something. World Vision had approached us about doing this initiative they have called Chosen for a second time. We did it 5 years ago. Chosen is this really super cool child sponsorship program that they do. And if you've been to church at all growing up, you've seen child sponsorship stuff. You're going to sign up. It's $39 a month. They put all the pictures of the kids, and then people go around and, pick the one they want to sponsor. What we love so much about World Vision in this program is that they kind of flipped the script on this. And they said, "We want folks to sign up as child sponsors, but instead of showing them the pictures of these kids, we want to take pictures of these families, and we're going to send these pictures to the village where the children are that you're going to sponsor, and we're going to give these kids, some of which have never had an opportunity to choose anything, and we're going to empower these children with the opportunity to choose who they want to sponsor them." And also, they said, listen, this isn't a thing where we're just going to, you know, drop some food in there, take your $39 and spend it all, or just keep getting them. I know a lot of us are feeling like, man, you got to teach them to fish, right? What are we doing? And World Vision took Larry over to Africa a few years ago and showed him what they're doing to create this sustainable life. And the goal 5 years ago was to be out in 5 to 7 years of the village in Mwala that we sponsored children at. Because we're going to teach them enough and give them enough tools and equipment for them to be able to live a life on their own. They can raise crops on their own. They can do chicken coops on their own. They know how water wells work. They can build things. And we're about 2 years away. So World Vision said, would you like to do another one of those with your congregation? And we said, we think so, but we have over 160 of y'all are still supporting that original village. And so they said, well, what if, you know, 50 or 60? Maybe we can get 50 or 60 of your people to say yes to this. There's a village called Umzingwane in Zimbabwe. That's pretty good. Right? And they said, there's a village there, and there's kids there. What do you guys say to us trying this chosen one more time with your church? So we said yes. And then we asked you guys to say yes, and we weren't sure how it was going to go. And they said 50 to 60 was the goal, and 161 children were sponsored over there. Clap for yourselves for that. 161 children now are going to get to see what being the hands and feet of Jesus look like through your yes. And not just those people, but their families. And not just their families, but their village. And not just their village, but the kids that come after them and after them and after them because of your yes. And through your yes, not only will children 9,000 miles away have a sponsor, but they'll know all of it was done in Jesus' name. And they will be equipped and educated and empowered by partnership with World Vision and with a little church across the world in Texas to get the tools necessary to work and have a life they wouldn't have had the opportunity to live. In a few minutes, you're going to have to go in the lobby and see which child picked you, those of you that signed up, and it's going to be amazing. I want you to hear this. You didn't save these kids, right? Only God can save, right? But you showed them Jesus through your generous yes. And now these children in this village in Zimbabwe get to see God go to work in their lives through the tools and support that will now be provided to them. So on behalf of myself and of Larry and this church and World Vision, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for allowing God to go to work through your yes. Thank you for being chosen.
You allowed love and light to invade the darkness, and heaven came to earth. Sponsorship is such a beautiful program, but it has always been in the hands of the sponsor. The decision and the choice has always been in the sponsor choosing the child and said, no, we're going to put the choice into the hands of a child. This is what the gospel looks like. You put the motion of choice into the hands of a child. You lived out the power of the gospel of God as you put the empowerment and the choice into the hands of a child.
That was cool. I cried when I watched that the other day. It was good. Thanks, Ben, for putting that together. Now, listen, so World Vision asked us, do we want to do this? And then they said, do you, me, want to go with your wife, Jen, after the chosen event to take these pictures there, to visit, to see this chosen party, and to see what else World Vision is doing there? So we talked about it for about 5 seconds. And we said, yes, absolutely. And then the week of our chosen event, I got really sick, and then we had like the chosen day, and I got seemingly better, and then I got worse. And then we had a really weird situation where I was like, I don't think I can or should go on this trip. So Jen, whose sacrifice was, we're going together, that was our yes, that yes suddenly became much bigger, and the opportunity come, maybe this yes should be a no. But Jen, without like any hesitation at all, because she knew, and we talked about this, we wanted to see what was going on there. I mean, aside from the personal reasons of Jen wanting to go to Africa, we wanted to see what was going on with World Vision. We wanted to give you like an accurate and realistic like portrayal of what's going on there. She, without any doubt at all, said yes. And if you know my wife, she likes to do stuff with me because I talk all the time. And we can kind of just, you know, chime in when we need to. She's very introverted, and she said yes. So it is with my great pleasure, since I wasn't there, I thought I'd bring her up on stage. So if we could, let's give a very warm welcome to Jen Andrews, world traveler, female empowering, my baby mama, all the...
So embarrassing.
Okay. So Jen's here. Okay. So we're going to ask Jen a few questions just to kind of see how the trip went, to kind of give you an idea. I don't want to like report back what Jen said. I wanted Jen to say this. So also, before she left for this trip, I was super stressed about it. She was stressed about it. And I said, you seem nervous. Like, are you nervous? And she goes, honestly, the thing I'm nervous most about is that you're going to make me talk about it when I get back. Like, that was the part. So she doesn't love being up here. So we appreciate the sacrifice and your yes for being up here today, Jen. Okay, so, but seriously, why was this yes so easy for you when you kind of knew, you know, not only were you going across the world, but it took you out of your comfort zone of having your super talkative husband to be around? Why was this yes so easy for you?
I don't know. It just was an instant yes. As soon as you asked me, I didn't even think about it. I just said yes. And then kind of preparing myself that you may not go. I just felt, it felt right. It felt like I should go. I should, you know, take this opportunity to go see what our money and our efforts are really, you know, going towards.
Awesome. So you're in Zimbabwe. You guys go. There's a group of about 9 of you guys that are on this trip. And you guys got to visit some of these communities that World Vision had been set up in for a while. They kind of see the work that they were doing there. Like, what kind of things did you get to see while you're on this visit?
Oh, so many things. The three that I wanted to talk about mostly is, so when you think of poverty, it's completely different than what you would imagine here or even in some other countries that we've been to before. They literally have nothing. These people have, most of them don't have water. So the one of the first ones that we went to was a clinic. And when I say clinic, I mean like building. And there's a couple of rooms with hospital beds. But they have a water well now that was put on their property so that they service 10 different communities with water and medical care at this hospital. They have a separate building in order for the women in that community to have their babies. So those of us that have had babies even at home or at hospitals, they don't have that care there. So they're either having them at home, which is very dangerous, or they're walking miles and miles and miles to get somewhere. So this clinic allows them to, the girls to live there for about a week or two before they have their babies in order to, you know, be safer. We also went to visit, sorry, I gotta look at my notes, I'm nervous. There's another clinic being built and the whole community came together to build that. It's not built yet, but they are laying the foundation, clearing the land. They work every day. The women work twice a week. They work every day, all day, to get this clinic ready so that people don't have to walk, you know, 8 miles to get to the other one. This one that you see, I'll get now here to the slides. This boy, his name is Daniel. So Daniel has been with World Vision for about 4 or 5 years. He was chosen in 2019 by another church. And Daniel... That's the house that Daniel and his family live in. And when I say family, it's about 12 people. So in that tiny little building, because of World Vision, Daniel's been able to get uniforms, to go to school, to learn skills, to help his family. And his sponsor also sent him an additional gift of $1,000. And with that $1,000, they were able to build a brand new home. So that's it right there. So Daniel's not only now thriving, his family is thriving, and they're, you know, supporting each other. His older sister, actually, her husband passed away. She has a one-year-old. So she moved back in. That's just what their families do there. They just take care of each other. So that's Daniel. The other thing that we went to that was really incredible is a village of women. So the men in these communities either are really old, so they stay around and help when they can. The ones that are able to work leave. So most of them are in South Africa working. So it's just the women that are left behind doing all the work. So one that we went to was a group of 60 women that banded together because they wanted their kids to be able to go to school. So they got like 4 chickens and started breeding chickens, and now they have a chicken coop with hundreds of chickens. And they've turned that into a sustainable business, and that's how they make an income now. So this is, that's a chicken coop behind there, if you can see on the picture. I think we have a picture of the actual chickens, yeah. So they started with 4, and actually if you look at that, that expands to about 5 times that, and they have chickens all over. So they sell the chickens, obviously, for income. They also have a man that comes and gets the chickens from them and sells them. And for every chicken that he takes, he gives them new chicks. So they can just keep it going.
Awesome. Good job. You're doing so good.
Sorry. Okay.
So all that stuff is done kind of through the support of World Vision and kind of teaching them to empower them with kind of their idea of not just giving them, you know, money or giving them things, but teaching them how to do things. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this is, we have a video of this, which I'm really excited to show everybody. You got to do a water walk.
Yes.
Will you kind of explain to us what the water walk was and what that was all about? And please show the video.
Sure. Okay. So these women in this village, they make this walk about 4 to 5 times a day. These women are actually fortunate enough that they have what's called a bowl hole. So it's a well in the ground. A lot of places don't even have that. So they're walking miles and miles to get water from a stream, a lake, wherever they can find a body of water. So these women actually have a bowl hole. So they pump their water every day. It takes 30 minutes to an hour each time to fill up about 7 of those buckets. They're 5-gallon buckets. They then each take one, put them on their heads, and walk up their hill. It's not super far, but it's far enough with a 5-gallon bucket on your head, to their houses. And they do it several times a day. Their water well, that's them kind of around it, the water well's in the middle there, is old. I think it was built in like the 80s. So it's leaking. It's running out of water. They're in a huge drought there. So for them, fixing up that well is like life-changing for them. And so we kind of banded together, those of us that were there on the trip, and gave a little bit of money each. And so they're able to get their well fixed.
How much was the well to get fixed when they were having all these dire issues with the well? What was it?
$70.
$70.
That's it.
Amazing. Okay.
So
that's great. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. What do you think surprised you the most about seeing kind of what was going on in these villages and their partnership with World Vision? You know, what surprised you the most about what $39 a month is doing?
So I was really surprised. I always just envisioned $39 as buying them food and rice and like a uniform for school, but it's so much more than that. So they do get all of those things. All the individual children get all the things that they need for their particular families, but the money is pooled together in these communities. So that they can do these huge projects. World Vision goes in, they lead classes, they teach them how to do these things, they teach them how to do repairs on their wells, and keep everything up. That way, when World Vision leaves, they can continue to do it. They are all, what surprised me is they all just want to work really hard. None of them have pity for themselves, none of them complain. They don't have other options, so they put everything they have into these projects and bettering their communities, basically.
Awesome. I don't know why you're nervous. You're doing really good. All right. Okay, so tell us, so the chosen parties, right? Now we get to go to the chosen parties where the kids get to pick. Tell us about these chosen parties. Kind of set the scene for kind of how the parties went and what they look like.
Okay, so the chosen party is the best part. It was amazing. We go to the village. All the kids have already been brought there. They're, you know, hanging out under a tent. They've got some snacks for them. They're coloring. They're just kind of playing and anticipating getting to pick their sponsors. They have all of their moms there, or the moms that could come are also there, so they get to watch their children pick their sponsors, the people that are going to be impacting their families. Each child gets called one by one, and they get to go up and look at all the pictures, pick the families. It was really fascinating to see their thought process. Some of them looked at every single picture for a long time. Like, they were looking for something special. And then some of them knew just right away. They walked straight up to a picture and picked them. That's probably one of the only decisions those kids have ever gotten to make on their own. So they took it very seriously. They're very, very cute.
So they're how do they act when they saw, you know, what was going on with them when they're making these decisions? You said they were, some were excited, some were nervous.
Yeah, they seemed really shocked. You know, if you could think about, they've never ever gotten to do that before. They've never gotten to choose anything. They've never gotten to do anything on their own. So they were a little bit shocked, kind of, you know, but so excited, especially for those that picked those of us that were there on the trip. You know, as soon as they turn around and they realize that they've picked someone that's actually standing there, they get really excited.
Awesome. Yeah, I think we actually have a video of the moment when our little girl picked us. I think, do we have that video? I think we do. Here it comes. There she is.
This is No Dumo. She's the best.
And what did you say she thought she liked about this picture of ours?
Oh, so we submitted a picture ahead of time. So it was a picture from a past Christmas. And so it's Christmas lights, glittery, twinkly. She walked up, I laughed because she's wearing a dress with like a tutu and she's wearing boots. And if you've met my daughters, especially Ophelia, she loves to wear like dresses and combat boots and loves everything sparkly. So I just was so excited when she picked our picture.
Awesome. Okay. So what are some other takeaways that, or kind of misconceptions or things that you learned from this trip and experience with World Vision that you'd like to share with us?
Let's see. They just do so much more than I think any of us imagined. And so for a lot of us, $39 is a sacrifice for some of us. And for some of us, it's, you know, Starbucks for a week. The big takeaway is just how much those people love each other and love their families and the things that they're doing to better their circumstances. They aren't just sitting around waiting for World Vision or other aid organizations to come in and feed them. They are, you know, drilling the wells and working the wells so that they can plant, you know, foods and feed their families. That's kind of the biggest takeaway. And World Vision is just, they got it all together. They are very, very good stewards of their money. Your money is being used very, very wisely. They don't waste a thing over there. So
awesome. Okay. So you're on our chosen volunteer crew, which, shout out, if you see anybody with an orange shirt on, talk about generously sacrificing time. They have been, you saw the lobby, that's set up. They've been doing all that, getting that stuff ready. So if you see someone with an orange shirt, make sure you tell them thank you for all their work these last few weeks. You're on the crew. So if someone was here and they didn't get to sign up, the last time, can they still be chosen for our kids in?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So if you sign up today, anytime between now and 8 p.m., 8 p.m. is the very last time you can do it to be able to get a child from our particular village. But you can scan the QR code. There's people out in the lobby that can help you if you're not sure how to do it. Super easy to sign up. You won't get your picture today, obviously. You'll be chosen in a different chosen party, but you will get emailed the information of your child, their name, how to contact them. You can keep in contact with them through email.
Awesome.
All kinds of things.
Okay, yeah, cool. All right, so yeah, so scan that QR code if you missed it and you still want to be a part of what's going on there in Mzingwane. Look, I'm like,
you can say I'm it, but crushing
I can't. These village can't names. Okay. All right, so that's what we have going on with that. If you have questions about that, find someone in an orange shirt. They can give you more details of how to sign up. You can take a picture out there. We have a photo booth, so your family's picture can get taken out there when we dismiss. We're done. Let's say thanks to Jen. Woo! She did it. So if you're nervous about doing something that scares you, remember Jen going 9,000 miles across the world to people she did not know to Africa to do this because she said yes to something she thought God was calling her to do. So very proud of her. I'm proud of you. Good job. You're the best. Okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to kind of explain how the rest of this day is going. As we pray, I don't want to like rush through prayer and get to the next thing. Let's think about kind of what we talked about today about the importance of our yeses. And those of you here today, like specifically because I've heard it so much lately, of people feeling like they can't do anything, like there's no impact that they're making in the world. You know, they don't have, you know, vocational ministry like me where they're, you know, getting to come up here on stage and talk. But I want to tell you with great assurance, whether it's with your time, your talent, or your resources, your yes is a really big deal, and God can do amazing things. He fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. He can do amazing things through you. So don't give up on God being able to do amazing things through you. So let's pray. As we pray, if you wouldn't mind, pray for these kids over there. Obviously, this was a cool thing. This was a cool party, but this is a tough life over there. The thought of a child never having a decision, we cannot wrap our brain around. Like, it's impossible for us to get there. So let's pray. If you wouldn't mind, I'll pray. And then if you want to pray yourself too for these kids, that would be amazing for the work World Vision is doing. And again, thank y'all for being the hands and feet of Jesus. This church is unique. I got a little sneak peek of the World Vision. Sorry, you were starting to pray and then I kept talking. I'm sorry. I got a sneak peek of the kind of the nationwide World Vision call with all the leaders. And they took about 4 minutes to talk about this church and how they could not believe the support of this church the first time, and the second time they were even more blown away. So you guys are doing amazing stuff, and again, we're so, so thankful for you guys. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you so much for not just doing all these things by yourself without using us. We know you could, but Lord, we thank you for choosing to use us. And Lord, I thank you for every single person in this room that said yes to this challenge with World Vision. I thank you for every single person in this room that says yes to any kind of generosity that they have. This thing with World Vision might not have been for everybody, and that is completely fine, Lord, but let all of us find what we need to be saying yes to when it comes to our generosity, again, with our time or with our talent, or with our resources. And God, I thank you for these children, these families, these villages that are over there around the world. It seems like a different world, Lord. And I just thank you for them, Lord. And I pray that you will just bless them through this partnership with World Vision and this church. And Lord, let us keep in touch with them. Let us know what's going on with their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless them and keep them safe. Let them learn. Let them grow. Let them learn how to have this sustainable new life that they couldn't have had if not for a partnership with others when you working through that partnership. So Lord, we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for our church who we love so much. And thank you for Jen and her courage to say yes in a really tough situation. In your name we pray. Amen.